Hello, everybody, and happy Thursday evening to all you fine folks out there watching on Bally Live. That's a look at the Clover Park sky, which we'll get that correct. There we go. Look at Clover Park. She's a beaut, folks, and it's been a great homestand for the St. Lucie Mets. They are 6-2 in this 12-game stretch, and they've won four games in a row, and tonight they battled the Daytona Tortugas in Game 3 of a six-game series here in Port St. Lucie. Mets trying to take total command of this series by going up 3-0. We have first pitch for you on a rather cool night in late April at 6:10. We welcome you now into the broadcast booth. Adam McDonald, Jake Ricker. Yesterday, the Mets won 6-3. It was a game in which they only had four hits. They made three errors. They were down 2-0 early. They didn't have a hit through five innings. Yet, Jake, at the end of it, Mets won 6-3, and it was really not even a threatening victory. It was kind of strange that the way that game turned out, and it was like, oh, the Mets won the game, and it was really not an issue at all.
They found a way. The last couple of nights, they've been able to do that, and, hey, sometimes that's what you have to do. And listen, overall for the Mets, it's been a great last couple of games. The pitching has been really good. The hitting at certain times has been really good. And when they put it all together, they have been unstoppable this year, and that's why they are currently tied for first place in the division. How about that?
Yeah, opening weekend, the Mets went 1-2 here at Clover Park against Jupiter. Since that point, the Mets have the best record in the Florida State League. They are 10-7 overall. That's tied for the best record in the league. They've won 9 of 13 games. They've won four in a row. And earlier today, Jake put together a highlight package of what's happened here at Clover Park during this four-game winning streak. So, the good times roll on here at Clover Park. Mets 6-2 on this current homestand with four games to go. Here are the umpires for today's game. Natanael Rodriguez calling balls and strikes. Bryce Bobeldyke is the base umpire. Starting pitching matchup in tonight's game. It's a good one. Matt Allen for the St. Lucie Mets looking for a bounce back after he had a rough outing last time. Just couldn't quite find the strike zone consistently enough last Friday night. Mets walked 13 total that game. That's their most recent loss, so he'll look for better today. and it's Kenya Huggins on the mound for Daytona. He was with Daytona last year as well, 22-year-old from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Definitely should be a good matchup for the St. Lucie Mets. Matt Allen back out on the mound once again. He's been really good for St. Lucie since coming back from his injury, sitting with a season ERA of 2.25 and 8 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts. He's been really good. Hopefully that will continue. He can get deeper and deeper into games as this season goes on. And then for Huggins, he has a season ERA of 3.27 and 11 innings pitched with 13 strikeouts. So two starting pitchers that have played really well to start 2025. And with some struggling offenses, we'll see how they're able to do in this game tonight.
It's been a pitching-dominated series to this point. We'll see what tonight has in store. And here come the Mets wearing the orange alternates again. They're hot in these jerseys, so they're going to stick with them. It's Peroza with the pleasantries. The umpires, nice young man. The rest of the Mets have taken the field. It's time for the national anthem, Palm Point. Local school down in tradition, going to sing the national anthem tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is you please rise, remove your caps for the singing of our national anthem. Tonight's national anthem will be performed by Palm Point Vocal Division.
And with that, it's go time for the Mets and the Tortugas, who are meeting for the third of their 30 scheduled games this season. Tonight, game three of a six-game series at Clover Park. Mets lead the current series 2-0 after a 3-2 win on Tuesday and the 6-3 win yesterday, both of the comeback variety. Mets trying to extend their winning streak to five straight games behind the right arm of Matt Allen. Allen, 24 years old, turned 24 a week ago today. This will be his fourth start of the season as he begins that journey back up the ranks after missing action from 2019 until this season with the two Tommy Johns plus the elbow nerve transposition surgery. So good to see him back out there. We'll see if he can sharpen it up tonight after his week start last week. As for the lineup that the Tortugas will throw out there against Matt, it'll be Kyle Henley leading off. He started Tuesday's game from leadoff spot. Alfredo Duno, top prospect on this Daytona team, bats second. Carter Graham, third. He Smith Pineda's had a good series. He bats cleanup. Bernard Moon, Sammy Stafura, Luis Reyes, Ryan McChrystal, and Iverson Espinoza round out the lineup. No Carlos Sanchez after leaving yesterday's game with an apparent injury. As for the defense behind Matt Allen, Jake will spin you around the diamond.
Starting in the outfield for St. Lucie, Simone Juan is in left field. A.J. Ewing, he plays in center. Willie Banyas in right field. And then on the infield from third to first, Trey Snyder at third. Jeremy Rodriguez at shortstop. Kevin DeVincenzo at second. Jairo Cuevas back in the lineup on his rehab assignment, playing at first base. And at your battery is Matt Allen and Vincent Peroso catching behind the plate.
Thank you very much, Jake. Throw down to second complete by Peroso, and we're ready for baseball. Cooler night here at Clover Park.
Yeah, nice day for baseball. 78 degrees, a cool breeze. A little chilly up here in the broadcast booth.
We'll deal with it. Believe me, it'll be hot soon enough. Good weather streak continues for the Mets. And home game number 12 of the season. Matt Allen set to begin his night. Here's the first pitch, and it's a ball high at 96, and we're underway. First pitch on time again at 6:10. 78 degrees and mostly cloudy at Clover Park tonight. Thanks for coming along. Let's make it a good one. As Allen tries to pick the corner, 97. It's high speed pitch of the season. And off the mark, it's 2-0. Swing and a miss on the high heater. 2-1. Kyle Henley went 0 for 4, 2 strikeouts. Series opener, did not play yesterday. 2-1 pitch. Allen gets the late swing and a miss to even things up, 2-2. Start number 4 for Matt Allen. He's 0-1 this season with a 2.25 ERA, 11 strikeouts in 8 innings, a 1.25 whip. 2-2 pitch. Down and away at 96. All fastball so far. Allen started last Friday, inning and two-thirds, couple of hits, couple of runs, walked 3. 31-pitch first inning, but he got through it. Payoff pitch. It's a weak tapper. Back to Allen. He'll field it. And the short arm throw is good enough. Cuevas makes the catch, and Henley is out on the comeback.
Nice job by Allen on that sequence. Gets the shallow ground ball. Able to flip it over to first in plenty of time to get out number one. Good start here for this inning.
And you know, after the 3-walk performance last week with a lot of first inning trouble, he did not want to walk the leadoff man. Threw one in there on the 3-2. Now Alfredo Duno, 19-year-old catching prospect, fourth highest ranked prospect in the Red system. First pitch, whoa, buzzes the tower at 96. Look out. Allen been all over the place. Nothing but fastball so far. He's been high, low, in, out, in the zone. 1-0 pitch. That one up high as well. I don't know how these guys do it, Jake. They just get right back in there.
It's impressive. I know certainly I would be a little hesitant.
In that movie Rookie of the Year where the kid's like in the very back of the batter's box on the line. That's where I'd be. 2-0 pitch to Duno, and that's going to be up and in.
Well, as I often say, Adam, there's a reason we are up here in the broadcast booth and not down on the field.
3-0 to Duno, and that missed up and in as well, so they all were in the same general vicinity, high and tight. Duno, second walk of the series, was 1 for 8. The 1-on, 1-out, and Carter Graham will come to the plate. I wonder if Allen doesn't try something different in this at-bat. It's been all fastball so far. He did go off-speed. The cutter, 91, too high. Ball fouled back.
Oh, nice adjustment here by Allen. Quickly ahead, 0-2. Two pitches up in the zone.
The pitch, knee high for strike 3. Carter Graham down looking. Perfectly placed pitch, best of the night so far for Allen. Two gone in the top of the first.
And what's really good about that sequence is the two pitches high in the zone, and then Matt Allen changes the eye level by dropping a fastball down in the bottom of the zone.
Two gone. Duno remains at first. Eastmith Pineda at the plate. Allen from the stretch. It's a ball that's fouled back. Another cutter. Pineda probably having the best series of any player. 3-for-7 with a double and a walk. Not a lot of offense through the first two games. Remember, it was 1-1 after 9 innings on Tuesday night. Duno's running. He got a great jump. Ball is popped up. Wynn's going to mess with this. Going forward at third is Trey Snyder. He makes the play. Wynn kept it playable, and the inning is over. No runs, no hits, no errors. One man stranded. When we come back, the Mets swing the sticks for the first time tonight. Back here at Clover Park, let's meet the Mets starting lineup. Jeremy Rodriguez will lead it off. Colin Houck bats second. A.J. Ewing third. Trey Snyder up in the order of the cleanup spot. Jairo Cuevas, second rehab game. He had a big one on Tuesday night with the double in the seventh and the game-tying walk in the tenth. DeVincenzo's been hot. Tuitz yesterday. Perozo had an RBI late in yesterday's game. Juan looking to get his season going, and Fines rounds it out. And the starting pitcher they are up against is Kenya Huggins. 22-year-old from New Orleans, played his college ball at Chipola Junior College here in Florida. Was a fourth-round pick by Cincinnati in 2022. This will be his fourth start. Huggins, 13 strikeouts in 11 innings. He's with Daytona last year as well. Here is Rodriguez at the plate. Had the walk-off walk on Tuesday night as he takes a ball low. And then yesterday, 0-for-4, reaching on an error and scoring a run, leading off of the third straight game. And he grounds one up the middle and through for a base hit. So the St. Lucie Mets offense, only 7 hits in the first two games. Their first batter in game 3 gets a knock.
Yeah, good to see Jeremy Rodriguez with a hit there. He's 0-for-4 in his last matchup. He's been really good at the plate overall to start this season, and he gets a good, clean base knock up the middle.
See if he puts the running shoes on now. It's Colin Houck at the plate. Houck will take a fastball low at 94. Well, Colin's had a good series, the biggest hit of the series, the home run to tie it in the ninth on Tuesday. Yesterday in his final two plate appearances, single hit by pitch, and he scored both times in the 6-3 win. Waves at this fastball for a strike, one and one. Out goes after the slider. Misses. Ball and two strikes.
There's that pesky slider again that Houck has been battling all year long. He's laid off of it. He's been at his best.
Huggins the 1-2. Rodriguez is running. The swing and a miss for a strikeout, but Jeremy safely into second with ease. His third stolen base of the season. Slider down that got Houck fishing.
alternate slider that's been the problem. But good job by Rodriguez to pick up the stolen base, and you'll love to have him in scoring position with A.J. Ewing up at the plate.
Yeah, A.J. this week, 0 for 5. Well, he's way overdue for a hit in the way his season's been going. Doesn't mean he hasn't contributed. They pitched him carefully, 3 walks. There's a pitch outside for ball 1 at 95.
It almost feels weird to say that Ewing's batting average has dipped. He's still batting .389 on the season, but down from where he had it at .400.
And second in the league. His 21 hits tied for second, as well as on-base percentage with the 3 walks this week. Right at .500, which is tops in the FSL. Slider out, 2 balls and no strikes. So again, another Tortugas pitcher very cautious with Ewing. A runner in scoring position situation. Fastball up, then it's 3-0.
Yeah, nothing wrong with drawing a walk. AJ Ewing's on-base percentage has been really good. Anytime you can get on base, especially with his speed, it's beneficial to the Mets.
Huggins gets over a strike. Ewing taking all the way. See how aggressive that with Huggins is now with the 3-1. It looked like he really wanted much to do with AJ at the start of this at-bat.
Even that strike wasn't in the strike zone by much, about half a ball.
That's ball 4. And AJ with the 4th walk of the series will help the on-base percentage climb back above 50%. First and second for St. Lucie with Cuevas, or rather Trey Snyder coming up. Cuevas on deck. Snyder 0 for 4 yesterday. First pitch, knee-high strike 1 at 96. So Huggins starting to ramp up the velocity. Swing and a miss on a slider. Snap throw to first, not going to be in time to get Ewing. And it looked like the Mets were close to attempting a double steal there. Rodriguez held off at the last second, and AJ had to scramble back. Those are two fastest guys on the team. One out, trying to advance up a base potentially. Snyder stays alive on the fastball.
And if you remember, it's something the Mets pulled off yesterday to get a run in off the throw that went to second and bounced into center field.
Yeah, the old first and third double steal. And Snyder chases after the fastball. Hard fastball down and away for strikeout number 2.
And both the strikeouts for Huggins so far have been on pitches down and away. It's been his go-to spot.
So Cuevas will hit now on minor rehab assignment, and he had a good game 1, the double and the walk in extra innings. So trying to roll that over to today's game. Played over 100 games with St. Lucie last year. Huggins' first pitch is grounded out to second, cleanly fielded by Espinoza. Handoff to Stafura ends the inning. The Mets strand 2, and we will go to the second inning scoreless. gorgeous night for baseball at Clover Park. They've all been this season, so the front-loaded schedule helpful so far. The Mets, this is game number 18, home game number 12. The six-game road trip to Lakeland, first full week of the season, went 3-3 over there. Next week, that strange six-game set at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium against two different teams. Looking forward to that. Many games down there, our southern home. Bernard Moon takes strike one from Matt Allen. A nice cutter for strike two. Allen pitched around a four-pitch walk in the first inning. Started filling up the zone after that. Still get back on the rubber. Avoids the pitch clock violation. This one's put out of play. Saw that yesterday. Bases empty. Pitcher step off and then a pitch clock violation called. It will not reset. Pitcher steps off the rubber with the bases empty. Pitch is grounded to first. Cuevas will take it himself. He was well positioned, wasn't he? The retired Moon.
Always nice when a ground ball comes right to you and you don't have to move. Cuevas did a nice job fielding it cleanly and getting to first.
He was playing shallow way off the bag. It's good advanced study by the Mets there. Always good to see that studying put in practice. Makes guys want to pay attention. Sammy Stafford down in the order today. Hitting sixth, first pitch to him is hit high into left. Going back is Juan, still going back. He looks up, and this ball's gone. Stafford with his first home run of the season. High and deep off the boardwalk. And it's 1-0 Tortugas.
A cutter that just caught too much of the plate for Matt Allen, and Stafford went down, got a good swing off, and really drove that ball in the air.
Didn't look like it was hit that hard. This ball's foul tipped by Reyes. It just kept going. Wind somewhat helpful today, but not playing a major factor. Well, another game in which the Mets trail. The 10 games the Mets have won, they've been behind in 8 of those wins, including both in this series. 0-2 pitch is softly lined out to second. That'll be snagged by Villavicencio. The second out.
Well, exit velocity on that home run was 94.1 and the launch angle degree of 44 degrees. It's part of the big factor that let that ball carry a little more than the Mets had hoped for.
Yeah, again, off the bat, it just did not seem like it was that well struck. And it seemed to be a low percentage home run. Would have been gone in Daytona, that's for sure. Ryan McChrystal up. Daytona much shorter dimensions than Clover Park. 1-0. A swing and a miss on a fastball at 96 miles per hour. Allen trying to do his best to shake off solo homer. Tried a curveball for the first time.
Those home runs are going to happen, especially on one pitch, but you just have to be able to stick to your game plan, continuing to fill up the strike zone. Don't let that pitch rattle you.
This ball is cracked into dead center. Moving back is AJ, and he's going to flag it down. Did he hold on? He did. Great running catch by AJ Ewing. Takes a tumble at the end, but secures the third out. What a play by AJ. Daytona on the board with the Stafura home run, but it ends right there thanks to the great defensive play by the Mets center fielder. Kenny Huggins now pitching with the 1-0 lead. He stranded two in the first. Sammy Stafura hit a home run last half inning. Will be Villavicencio Perozzo and Juan. Do know in discussion with their home plate umpire, Rodriguez. Vincent Perozzo, not in the on-deck circle. He's almost in the batter's box. Swinging a miss on the slider. Look at where Perozzo is. Am I missing something? He's almost on. Look at him.
He's definitely.
He's hedging towards the home plate there in the on-deck batter. He doesn't want to get his cleats dirty. It's very dusty down there these days with the lack of rain.
A lot of these players wear white cleats. Those can get dirty very easily.
0-2 on Villavicencio. He's had a good week here. Fouls it off to stay alive. Yesterday he had half the Mets hits. And really the ice-breaking hit. Mets down 2-1 in the sixth. He led off the inning with the single. That was the Mets' first hit of the game, and it just seemed to relax everything. The Mets scored four and went on to win. 0-2 pitch again, and he's out ahead of this slider and strikes out Huggins with three strikeouts in the early going.
Another one on that slider. Good pitch down and away. This one in the strike zone. And that's been the go-to pitch, the go-to spot for Huggins. Mets hitters will have to make an adjustment here.
Vincent Perozzo, a late game hit yesterday, a two-out RBI in the eighth to pad the Mets' lead. Insurance run they were looking for. Perozzo drives it deep center field. Henley racing back, and he's going to make the catch and bump up against the wall as Perozzo falls just short of an extra base hit.
That ball was close from getting out of the ballpark. It kept carrying and just falls short in front of that warning track.
100.6 off the bat. Trying to go the opposite field. It's a deep part of the field for a hitter to go the other way. Simone Juan needs a hit to stay above 100 batting average. Takes a cut at this for strike one. And ball one. Juan cranks one into left field. That's going to get down and head off the wall and wedge underneath the Budweiser sign. Juan's going to kick it into high gear up to second base. And he needed that one. He's tattooed it. And he's in the scoring position.
He had not particularly been a good start to the season for Juan at the plate, but this one on a fastball outside gets a arms extended, drives it into left field, and 110 off the bat. Easy double for Simone Juan.
A couple of nice swings here from Perozzo and Juan with two outs. Tying run in scoring position for Fanyas. Coming the ninth hitter in the order. Fanyas will swing and miss at the slider. Throw back to second. Got him. Already in scoring position with two outs. And Juan is picked off. After that nice double, he's picked off. He's in the inning. Daytona will take its 1-0 lead to the third. back here at Clover Park. We have a pitcher pitching change. Matt Allen. Let's continue to be cautious with him in his return to action. Two innings, a hit, a run on the home run, a walk, and a strikeout. 27 pitches, 18 strikes. Gives way to a minor rehabber, Dylan DeBrock. Second rehab appearance for DeBrock. Big right-hander from Creighton. He's dealt with hip and elbow injuries. There's Lenny Harris, Mets fantasy camper. Coach, that is. You can get it, wedge it under there. There you go. The young Juan Soto. Well, maybe they can't wedge it under there. Lenny's got to get back to position. Whoopsie-daisy, check swing. Right out to Cuevas. He's got it, and that will retire Espinoza. Didn't mean to check swing ball in play. And I think Lenny Harris still over there trying to trying to get that ball to a fan.
You can do it. It is possible.
Okay. That ball will get to that kid somehow if it hasn't already.
He's resulted to help from the Mets dugout.
Well, you know, Lenny likes the Mets fans. Met himself back in the 2000s. Been with Daytona for a few years now. Back to the top, and Kyle Henley. Swing and a miss. Third base coach Lenny Harris for Daytona, former major leaguer. Did play with the Mets, including on that 2000 World Series team, and all-time major league leader in pinch hits. That I don't know if that record will ever be broken. 0-2 pitch, struck him out. So to Brock, taking care of business here in the third. Fans Henley, two up, two down. With the, you know, there's the DH in both leagues now, and you know, relief pitching is better than ever, so tougher to get hits late in games. It's a record that might stand for a while. Fredo Duno up, and he swings and misses at the cutter.
It's got to feel good knowing that you have a record which meant that your team trusted you for that clutch hit in a big spot.
To Brock, looking for 1-2-3 inning. It's a pop out to the stands here. $2 night crowd needs to pay attention. Two on Duno, and he missed high with the fastball at 95. Cutter down.
It's a good pitch and a good location. Just good patience from Duno to lay off of that one. See if DeBrock comes in with a challenge pitch here. The count now even.
Only the 10th pitch of the inning. And it's a hard chopper deep to third. Nice stop by Snyder. Stumbles, throws, and gets the out. Nifty play by Trey at the hot corner. Completes the 1-2-3 inning for DeBrock. 1-0 Daytona halfway through the third. Back at Clover Park, it'll be Fanyas back to the plate. Simone Juan was picked off at second to end the bottom of the second. First pitch, slider fouled away for strike one.
It's something you'd like to see the Mets try and clean up a little bit. And I've had a couple of base runners picked off against them, especially when you're already in scoring position.
Fanyas take a fastball for ball one, one and one.
Especially for an offense that still trying to find its groove again. Hasn't been able to score a ton of runs over the last couple of games. Have to take advantage anytime you can.
Pitch looked like it might have crossed up Duno, but no harm, no foul with bases empty. Two balls and a strike.
No doubt, though, that their clutch hitting has been really good. When they've needed it the most, offense has come through.
Fanyas grounds one foul. Two and Fanyas lines one the other way for a base hit. Good piece of hitter hitting by Willie to go the other way with two strikes. And for the Mets, the at-bats got better against Huggins as the lineup moved along. Barroso, 100 mile an hour line out deep to the track, 110 mile an hour double by Juan, and now this nice sharp single by Fanyas to lead off the third. Back to the top end, Rodriguez, who has a hit tonight. Mets bat starting to come to life here as this pitch is laid in for a strike. Mets only four hits yesterday in the win, and already three hits the first time through the lineup tonight.
Fanyas, who has taken a decent lead over at first base, wonder if the Mets try to be a little aggressive.
He does have a big secondary lead, but not going. And it's one and two on Rodriguez.
Maybe just trying to get into the head of Huggins a little bit, bouncing around out there at first base.
Pickoff throw, not going to be in time. Pitch is out. Two and two. Duno is ready to pop up if necessary and make a throw. Big bouncer out to second. Nice pick. The backhand. The throw to first. That's in time from Espinosa Stafura and on to Reyes. Well, there were a couple of double play chances in that fateful sixth inning last night. The Tortugas could not turn. It really cost them this time able to execute. And that was much tougher than either of the ones we saw in the sixth inning yesterday.
No question. Espinosa having to come in quickly and then execute almost a backhanded pass over to second base, did so nicely, and going to wipe the base runners out for St. Lucie.
Just like that, two outs and they're empty. And with Rodriguez's speed, that had to go fast. Hat tip to Espinosa. And he was the shortstop, the second baseman yesterday, along with Stafur at short. So it's that same combo that couldn't make the plays. He gets it done just over 24 hours later. Out, rolls went over foul. 1-1. Out holds up on appeal. Did not go. It's Bryce Bobeldyke. Out lays off the slider and finds himself in a 3-1 count.
Getting a good at bat from Colin Houck. There was that slider that we've mentioned a couple of times has been trouble for him, but really good job to lay off of it.
3-1 pitch, looking for something to hit, doesn't get it. So three batters in this inning, two have reached base, but the double play ball still has Huggins in a position to get out of it with the lead. A.J. Ewing, who's already walked four times this week, including once already tonight. Ewing drives it out of play.
Well, not a bad pitch to swing at there from Ewing, and we'll see if he can really get a hold of one. He's a guy who doesn't have a ton of power, but every once in a while can show that off.
Lays off this pitch. AJ, he's starting to get what I call, from a St. Lucie perspective, the Michael Conforto treatment. After a while, when Conforto was here in 2015, teams just wouldn't pitch to him. And eventually, after a few weeks of that, the Mets said, all right, you're out of here. You're going to Double A, where, you know, they will pitch to you. That one just missed, or did it? Alfredo Duno is going to challenge our first one of the night.
Both teams have stayed patient with their challenges. They were aggressive yesterday.
Nathaniel Rodriguez, the umpire, was challenged five times on Tuesday and was right four of the times. This one he was wrong and the catcher was right. So move it from 2-1 to 1-2 on Ewing. And AJ leads the timeout. Another check in on Houck. That's number two. One more, and it's got to be a pickoff or it will be a ball. Houck not running. Ball is lined into left. Sinking fast. Diving try by Mooney, comes up empty. Houck is going to race around. He will score to tie the game. AJ's flying in the third, and he will stand up with a triple. It's 1-1.
AJ finally got the pitch to hit, and he made no mistake. Sneaks it in there fair down that left field side, and then a diving attempt by Moon to try and cut that ball off ends up hurting him when it rolls all the way to the wall. And with AJ's speed, he's into third easily.
Now you could see it coming that Moon was going to give it a dive, a do or die play. He makes it, inning over, he misses. It's going to be a run. He could have peeled off, played it, and kept Houck from scoring, but sold out. Didn't work out for him, did for the Mets. And now Ewing, 90 feet away from giving the Mets the lead, will stand pat as Duno stabs that misfire to Trey Snyder. So Mets, four batters in the inning, three have reached. Double play ball has given Daytona a chance to get out of it with minimal damage, which they do on the flyout from Snyder. But after that double play ball, a walk and a triple tie things up. We're headed to the fourth at Clover Park. fourth inning. That means it's Jake Ricker time on the play-by-play.
Get set to go here. Mets have tied the game 1-1. Sending in the fourth inning. Brock back up on the mound for St. Lucie. Face off against Graham. 0-1 so far in today's game. Brock set. And the first pitch to Graham popped up high on shallow right field. It's going to be caught by Vivasencia. Ranges all the way over from second base to make the catch.
It's Brock looking strong. Allen looks strong as well. Just the one home run to Stafford that kind of took us by surprise. Didn't think it was that well hit.
And now it'll be Pineda for Daytona. 0-1 popped out back in the first inning. First pitch taken for a strike. Brock hit 0-1. Well, he's faced four batters and retired all four. So he's coming into the game into the third inning. He's set, and the 0-1 pitch on its way. That's a called strike at the knees. Quickly ahead, 0-2. Two on its way. Check swing. Did he go? No. On appeal. Held up just enough. So it'll be 1-2. This time 1-2. Swung on and missed for strike three. Brock picks up his first, second strikeout of the game. That'll make it five straight retired batters for DeBrock. Now faced off against Moon on a chance for a second 1-2-3 inning. Fly ball into left field on the first pitch, and that is going to be a fair ball all the way into the corner, played off a hop. And into second base on a ground rule double is Moon.
Yeah, once it hit the net, it was dead.
So it will not be a second 1-2-3 inning for the Mets. Moon extends it with a ground rule double. Now a quick mound visit here. Luis Alvarado, the Mets pitching coach. Vincent Perozzo and Kevin Vivasencio all on the mound. Talk things over with DeBrock. After giving up the two-out doubles, it'll be Sammy Stafura up next. Who homer back in the second inning. He is responsible for the one run for the Tortugas. Mets definitely wary of that. I want to give him another good pitch to swing at. Really, it was just a good swing from Stafuro. And that fastball, he hit out of the zone to get out of the ballpark. Block here ahead, 0-1. Two outs in the inning. We're in this tie game. 0-1. First, a disengagement by DeBrock. Stepped off. No throw down to second. No one pitch. This is too low. That'll even the count at 1-1. Rocks 1-1, and it's fouled off. We got a piece of it. Adam, I look down to my left and I see a big crowd of people. And I wonder what's going on over there. It's Clutch. He's quite the popular guy down here.
Somebody different in the mascot outfit too. Must be a relief to you.
Rock, set, and now step off again. No throw to second. Keeping an eye on Moon. Out. 1-2. Swing and a miss for strike three. And that'll end the inning. So no damage done on the ground rule double to bark two strikeouts in the inning. Tortuga strand one. Still 1-1 as we head to the bottom of the fourth. Back now here at Clover Park as we get set for the bottom of the fourth. Huggins returns to the mound for the Daytona Tortugas. And Jairo Cuevas will lead it off for St. Lucie. Cuevas 0-for-1 so far. This is his second rehab game with the Mets. Pitch drops in outside. Ball with no strikes to Cuevas. Begins in the 1-0. And it's chopped foul. Even the count on 1-1. If you missed the broadcast yesterday, it talked a lot about how Cuevas had some clutch hits against Daytona in his time with the St. Lucie Mets last year. 1-1 pitch, line right to and caught by Stafora. And that is out number one of the inning. Change up down, but in the middle over the plate. Cuevas just couldn't quite get a good clean swing off. And it goes right to Stafora, barely had to move. But Kevin Villavicencio now try and get something going here for the Mets. In the fourth. First pitch fouled off. Just getting a piece of it. 0-1 with one out here. One pitch, ground ball. This one is stopped by Graham, firing over to first. It's in time. And there's quickly two away here in the fourth. Next up for the Mets now, Vincent Perozzo. He had that deep fly ball into left field that fell just short of the wall and end up as a long fly out, nearly extra bases or potentially even a home run. Let's see if Rose can get another good swing off here against Huggins. Lines this one on the right side, but well fouled. Wait for this ball to be retrieved. Down from the right field. We're set to go once more. We mentioned Perozzo and how close he was during the on-deck circle and really standing next to the Mets logo behind home plate. He did it again in this last at-bat. Takes this 0-1 fastball outside, counting up at 1-1. And it's really only Perozzo who has been doing it. Simone Juan, who's on deck now, in the on-deck circle. 1-1 pitch, misses low. The count will move to 2-1. Perozzo with some different methods to get himself ready to go and locked in, but whatever works. Perozzo is batting 259 this season at the plate. And now he flies this one into center field. This one going to fall short of the track, and it's caught by Henley for out number three. That'll end the inning. 1-2-3 go the Mets. We head to the fifth here at Clover Park. New pitcher on here for the St. Lucie Mets as fans dancing along here at Clover Park. New pitcher is Juan Arnaud. Take over for Tabook, who ends his short outing, still on his rehab assignment. So Juan Arnaud taking over. And he will face off against Reyes. We'll lead off the inning here for the Tortugas.
Arnaud throws hard, but he's got to throw strikes. He's done a better job of that since the appearance last Friday.
His first pitch is too far outside, bounces to the backstop, and it's 1-0 now to Reyes.
Allen and Tabrock combined just one walk, only two hits through the first four innings.
Well set here, and the 1-0 pitch on its way. It's a fly ball. Shallow center field, racing in and making the catch is the right fielder, Fanyas. And that is out number one in the inning.
So, you know, Jake, we were talking about Lenny Harris, third base coach for Daytona. There he is. So he has 212 all-time pinch hits, most in MLB history. Next closest, Mark Sweeney, 175. And the best research I could do among active players, Justin Turner at 52.
Wow.
I think Lenny's record is fairly safe for the long foreseeable future.
That's pretty impressive, over 200. This pitch here taken for a strike to McChrystal.
And again, with no National League pitchers batting anymore, I mean, how is anybody going to even approach 212? I don't think they ever will.
A one pitch outside. County is up at 1-1. Tells you what he knows about clutch hitting. Coming up in big spots and trying to impart that wisdom now onto these young Daytona Tortugas players. No set now. And the 1-1 on its way. High fly ball. Will this one stay playable with the wind? It will not. Into the stand just in front of the Cutwater corner. And so there's a foul ball. Great place to watch a game from over there.
Yeah.
Got a couple of nice seats. Get some food, some drinks.
And a foul ball, too.
And a foul ball. Souvenir. So after the foul ball, our no ahead here of McChrystal, 1-2. One-two pitch, fouled off. And sinker in the zone from Arnaud. Pitch at 99 miles an hour, by the way. Just shy of 100 and in the strike zone. Good stuff from Arnaud. Here's the 1-2. And that is taken high for a ball. And even up at 2-2. Now the hardest pitch we've seen here at Clover Park was 102 miles per hour. Arnaud just below 100 here, 99-98.
By Ramon Gomez on Sunday. We'll see him again, I believe, Saturday.
Arnaud with the 2-2. Fouled off right into the Daytona dugout. Look out. So the count stays even. Arnaud in a battle here against McChrystal. With the 2-2 delivery. Swing and a miss for strike three on Arnaud with the strikeout for out number two.
Picking up right where Allen and Tabrak left off. And we talked about that, Jake, on Friday when the Mets walked those 13 batters. It was contagious. And the next night when they were walking nobody, also contagious. So, you want Arnaud to keep with the flow here. Follow the two guys in front of him and pummel the strike zone.
Arnaud fires a first pitch cutter outside.
I can't confirm Ramon Gomez, the scheduled Saturday starter on Marvel Knight with the Hulk jersey, so he's got to throw 102 again with the Hulk jersey on.
All that power comes from the Hulk. 1-0 pitch to Espinoza. Misses low, 2-0.
How fast do you think the Hulk could throw a baseball? Too muscular?
I don't think a radar gun could pick it up. 2-0 pitch. Swung on and missed. And the count moved to 2-1. We're talking about a Marvel character who can throw a bus.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, he seems like he has shorter arms and maybe too muscular. Doesn't have the... You look at a guy like Jacob deGrom, like Gumby out there. He's got that whip with the arm. That has the velocity.
2-1 pitch. It's flown high in the air, but this is going to get out. Play over the top of Clover Park.
But yeah, you're right. The raw strength. If he's throwing a bus, he can probably throw a baseball. Or is this Shaq shooting a free throw scenario where the hand's just too big to get a good grip on the ball? And
there is an argument to be made there that the ball is too small for you to get a good grip. But for my money's worth, I'd say he could throw pretty darn hard. 2-2 pitch, bounced in the dirt.
Where else are you going to find analysis like this?
Count will run full. Well, it should be a fun night. We'll have more of it for you on Saturday night. The Mets wearing their special Hulk jerseys, which you can be able to bid on at stlucymets.com/auction. And I believe the charity for that game is the Treasure Coast Food Bank. Support a good cause. Timeout taken here by Espinoza. Back out of the batter's box. He awaits here in a full count with two outs in the inning. I know, looking to try and pick up a 1-2-3 inning. He's set, and now the payoff pitch on its way to Espinoza. Swung on and missed for strike three. Juan Arnaud with a strikeout to end the inning. 1-2-3 go the Tortugas. We're still all tied at one. Mets will bat next here in the bottom of the fifth at Clover Park. Back here at Clover Park, new pitcher on for the Daytona Tortugas. Ortiz will take over on the mound. Holds a .82 ERA on the season. So the day is done here for Kenya Huggins. Solid outing for him.
Yeah, he did really well for himself. A big double play ball in the third inning when there was a span of five batters and four reached. That double play ball really helped him. Actually, it was three out of four.
He's set to face off Simone against Simone Wong. Swing and a miss on the first pitch. Wong's behind him with one.
For as well as he pitched, I'm sure he wished that his left fielder Moon didn't try to dive for that Ewing ball. He just played in front of him, give him a chance to get himself out of the jam.
0-1, taken for a strike. Moves to 0-2. And it's the big reason why this game is tied right now, 1-1. If Moon did not dive for that ball and cut it off, likely still a 1-0 lead for the Tortugas. This pitch misses inside. Duno thought he had strike three, no challenge. Taking a look at that pitch, looks like it was inside. 1-2, Juan flies this one into right field. Taking a couple steps back is Pineda, and he'll make the catch. For out number one of the inning.
That's kind of been the story of Daytona's season. So their line broadcaster Brennan Mentz mentioned that he's had trouble with two outs. And, that's where the Mets won the game on Tuesday, and that's where they scored their lone run tonight.
Two outs is where the Mets have struck, but for the most part, Adam, over the last couple of games, I mean, really clean books on our end from these pitching staffs. This pitch is taken here by Fanyas for ball one.
Yeah, where the Tortugas got in trouble yesterday, walks and errors in that sixth inning when the Mets scored four times.
1-0 pitch fouled off. Fanyas gets a piece of it.
We have discussed that you know, that's a sign of a good team, is that, you know, you just kind of wait for the other team to make mistakes and then you pounce.
He's set. 1-1 on its way. This one's popped up, but we'll get foul out of play. And no errors for either team so far in this one. Four hits for the Mets, two for the Tortugas.
This game very similar to the first two in the series. Well pitched and neck and neck.
See which team able to break through first. 1-2 pitch, and that is called strike three, and now it's challenge.
It's called a ball.
It's called a ball.
Well, Aduno couldn't believe it. He threw down to first, and then he challenged, and that's almost beyond the simultaneous request. This one's got to be in there,
I
right?
thought this was a called strike three for sure. I was surprised it wasn't, and it is. It's well in the zone.
Look, sometimes umpires just don't see it right, or that's clear. This is why you have the strike zone. That's the ABS. This is a that right there is to basically overturn the obvious mistakes that, look, human nature, umpire's not going to get
that
them all.
Happens.
Those point ones are fun and exciting, but that right there is, to me, the top reason why the system should exist.
Jeremy Rodriguez takes the first pitch he sees for ball one. And we've given a lot of credit to our umpires who are new to the Florida State League and have done a really good job with everything they've had to deal with. 1-0 pitch taken here for a strike, and now a challenge by Rodriguez.
Looked like a good pitch, too.
The Tortugas, 2-for-2 on their challenges. This is the first challenge from the Mets. And it is a ball.
Are we going to get the point one?
It's close. Point two. So with the successful challenge, it's now a 2-0 count here to Rodriguez. 2-0 pitcher Mortiz, and Rodriguez swings and miss. Count goes to 2-1.
Mets entered tonight a 51% win rate on the challenges.
Not bad.
Now they have won 31 and lost 29. So stay above 5.
2-1 pitch just at the knees, but misses for a ball, and it's 3-1.
Mets opponents only winning the challenge at a 42% clip.
Pitch, and Rodriguez right back up the middle. It's knocked down by Ortiz, and now he'll flip it to first, and that's out number three. Well, Rodriguez got a base hit in the first inning off a similar hit, but this time Ortiz knocks it down, and that will end the inning. So we will head to the sixth here at Clover Park, all tied up at one. New pitcher on here for the St. Lucie Mets. It's Channing Austin. We'll take over from Juan Arnaud. Austin holding a 7.15 ERA in his career. 8.110 so far this season. It's his fourth appearance.
Yeah, he's been paired up with Matt Allen all season. So Arnaud was the bridge pitcher. Brock got his two rehab innings in, and now it's going to be awesome for the long haul.
First pitch here to Henley misses high, and it's 1-0.
Arnaud, by the way, 1-2-3 inning with two strikeouts, just 15 pitches at 99. That's what we're looking for.
1-0 from Austin. That misses too tall. Now 2-0 to Henley. Well, Mets pitchers only with the one walk so far in today's game. Coming on Matt Allen. 2-0 pitch pulled back here on the shown bunt from Henley, and it's now 3-0. Only two hits in the games for the Tortugas. One of them, of course, the home run. 3-0, and that's a called strike. Henley was starting to head down to first base. He will not challenge.
It was a ball, but it took too long. Basically, once you step across the plate, time has passed for the challenge request.
3-1, and it's fouled off, and now all of a sudden it's 3-2. That run up to full. Austin will come set. Payoff pitch. Swing and a miss for strike three. Tanning Austin on a high heat gets the strikeout.
That makes the non-challenge look even worse by Henley. If he really thought it was a ball, have a quick challenge and take your base. And three pitches later, he's gone.
Now here's Duno, the catcher for the Daytona Tortugas. 0-for-1 so far in tonight's game. Big cut and a miss here on a sinker at 94. No one. This is too high. Count even back up at 1-1. Austin set in the pitch. Taken for ball two. Austin a little more trouble finding the strike zone here to start, but has come back to rally. 2-1, and that's in there for a strike. A challenge here from Duno. So at the moment, it's 2-2. We'll await the challenge. And that's in. Tortugas have won all their challenges so far in this game. But no longer is this one in the strike zone, and that is a loss for the Tortugas. They have one challenge remaining. Count evened at 2-2. Two-two pitch taken just low for ball three. So a full count to Duno with one out in the inning. Nobody on. Payoff pitch. And that's taken low for ball four. So it'll be the second walk of the game issued by Mets pitchers. And a one out base runner. That'll bring Carter Graham to the plate. Graham 0 for 2. This is taken outside. One and oh. Trying to keep this a tie game. 1-0 pitch. And it's a shallow line drive. It's going to fall down for a base hit. Picked up here by Fanyas. The holding at second is Duno. Weekly hit. Single for Carter Graham, and now it's two runners on with one out.
Yep, jam shot, just looped right over the head of Villavicencio, and for Channing Austin, he did get that strikeout to start the inning, but two of those pitches that were strikes were out of the zone, and fell behind Duno, walked him, fell behind Graham. So you got to find a way to get more consistently in the strike zone.
And now he will face off against Moon, or Pineda, excuse me. Pineda 0 for 2 in today's game. And a balk has been called against Austin. So now that'll send two runners into scoring position.
Yeah, and that's going to draw a mound visit, and it's also going to result in the Mets likely having to bring the infield in again. This is a tight, low-scoring game, and you have to avoid things. Balk and a walk, that's not what you're looking to do when it's a 1-1 game like this. So he's got to collect himself in a hurry and see if he can't make a couple of big pitches coming up.
And Balk, of course, taking away the double play possibility.
And he does not seem to be rattled or down about it. Big smile. Seems like, yeah, he's no sweat right there. Let's see if he can channel that positivity into getting a tough hitter out. It's Pineda, rough start to the season, but he's been coming on, and he's had a good week here at Clover Park, at least the first 2 days.
Austin is set. First pitch on its way. Ground ball through the middle, and that's a base hit. One run will come in, and now it's misplayed in left field by Juan. And heading towards third, but stopping is Pineda. So he gets the double and drives in two runs.
Yeah, Pineda was ready to hit on this first pitch. Slider just held right over the plate. And for Juan, not sure what happened there. That's a fairly routine ground ball. I think he was trying to play it out to his side and gear up for a throw home, but didn't see it all the way into his glove.
So a two RBI hit there from Pineda. And now Moon at the plate, still a runner in scoring position and one out. It's in there for a strike here from Austin. That's trailing 3-1. Going to look towards second. Now the 0-1. And a shot right back up the middle. This is grabbed by Vivasencio, throwing to first in time for out number two.
Yeah, another just weak jam shot. One of the ones earlier in the inning floated over for a base hit. That one, an easy one for Vivasencio. Didn't hang up in the air long enough for a catch. On the fly, it's a good read by Pineda, able to just run down to third on contact.
First pitch in the dirt, and it's 1-0 now to Stafura. Stafura is 1-for-2, had the home run back in the second inning. Trying to give Daytona a 4-1 lead. One-oh pitch, and that is taken for ball two. Two-oh from Austin, breaks too far outside. Nice job by Perozzo to stop that one from getting to the backstop. And a lunge out of his squatted position. Now a 3-0 count. Austin set in the pitch. It's in there for called strikes. 3-1. Mets trying to limit the damage here to just two runs. A 3-1 ball game. 3-1 pitch right over the head. That gets to the backstop, and that'll allow the run to come home. And it's now a 4-1 Tortuga's lead.
Yeah, you can live with the walk even though they don't want it, but the last thing you want to do with two outs is fire one of the backstops. So tough inning for the Mets here, and this is something they've stayed away from for the most part in this four-game winning streak, and it honestly looks a lot like the fourth inning for Daytona yesterday. Untimely walks, an error. Today it's been a couple of walks and error, now a wild pitch that's hurt the Mets.
And here's a line drive into left field. That's going to fall for a base hit. And the rally continues here for the Tortugas. Single from Reyes, and now runners on first and second. And McChrystal next up for Daytona. They will try to add on to their 4-1 lead. Three runs scored so far for Daytona in the sixth. Entering this game, we were tied all up at one. And some walks in the air, as Adam mentioned, and a couple of ace hits, and all of a sudden, the Mets trail by three. Just cut and a miss from McChrystal. Austin ahead here, 0-1. Pitch is fouled off. Austin now ahead 0-2 in the driver's seat to try and end this inning. Before things can get too far away. Two home. And it's fouled off. Still doing a good job to get a piece of it. Two pitch, ground ball. This one's fielded by Rodriguez. He takes a step, throws to first, and it's in time for the out. Cuevas had to come in and grab that one a little bit, but the out is complete. Tortugas score three. They lead 4-1 as we head to the bottom of the sixth. Ortiz returns to the mound here for Daytona. St. Lucie with some work to do. They trail by three as we enter the bottom of the sixth inning. Colin Houck will lead it off for the Mets to try and get something going.
The good news for the Mets is of their 10 wins, they've had to come from behind eight times, so they are in a familiar spot.
First pitch to Houck, called strike at the knees on the fastball.
But for the first time in this series, they're really going to have to put together some offense in order to come back tonight.
A one pitch. And this is a ground ball fielded right and cleanly by Graham. He fires to first. It's inside. And that's out number one of the inning.
Now on Tuesday, they just needed one swing. That was from Houck in the ninth inning to tie it up yesterday. Down 2-1. Walked their way back into the game, but now down by three runs, getting later. Have to string together some hits.
There's A.J. Ewing. He is responsible for the Mets' one run, driving it in on the triple. Pitch is taken outside.
Coincidentally, that's the last hit the Mets have.
Well, we certainly know the Mets are capable scoring a bunch of runs. easily coming back from down three. This one's taken for a strike by Ewing. But offense has not been able to string together consistently some hits over the last couple of days. Looking to break through here.
They've had a five-run comeback and a three-run comeback this year.
1-1, swung on and missed by Ewing. Got fooled there on a pitch that dropped low in the zone. Ewing takes his timeout. They're behind 1-2. And now he flies this one left field and foul. You know, if there's any guy to get a rally started, it would be A.J. Ewing. Top Mets hitter so far this season. 1-2 pitch, that is taken inside. Count even at 2-2. One out here in the bottom of the sixth. Mets trailing by three. 2-2 pitch is taken for ball three. And all of a sudden, Ewing has worked himself into a full count. Ortiz set, and the payoff pitch on its way. And Ewing chopper down towards second base, fielded by Espinoza. He fires to first. It's in time.
Well, AJ was smelling hit there. As soon as it took the big bounce, he was busting it down the line, but did appear to be out. It's the first time they've got him today.
So we're two away in the inning. It'll now be Trey Snyder. Snyder 0 for 2, looking for his first hit of today's game. First pitch on its way from Ortiz. Snyder fouls this one straight back. And a foul ball, 0-1 now. Ortiz set, and the pitch on its way. Taking four strikes, Snyder behind 0-2. And with how good Daytona's pitching has been for the last couple of games, it's a tall task here for the Mets. Ortiz cruising right along here once more. 0-2. And a shallow line drive that's going to be caught at center field. Snyder's contesting that. It hit the ground, but it's a catch from Henley in center field. What a play. Let's take one more look.
That looked like a trap. Sold it.
Got it. And that is out number three. 1-2-3 go the Mets. They trail 4-1. Head to the seventh. Well, how about this?
I've never seen this before.
The Mets are back into the batter's box. Daytona's on the field. It's been called a base hit.
We saw it right before we saw the replay. It was a clear trap. And but we were deep into the inning break. It's a pickoff. We were deep into the inning break, and the Trey refused to give up. and the umpires eventually gathered and reversed course. And we were doing the on-field contest, commercial break. But, we are still in the bottom of the sixth for the moment.
This pitch here taken for a strike by Fanyas. I don't think I've ever seen Adam. You know, so many times players or coaches have argued with umpires when a call doesn't go their way. I don't think I've ever seen them win one.
Not that late.
And that is fouled off, so it's 0-2 now to Cuevas.
And then there wasn't much of an argument put up by Daytona either. They kind of just accepted. And look, Henley did a really nice job selling it, but it was, I mean, we looked at it a couple of times up here during the break. It was pretty clear.
Well, first time for everything. So as of right now, two outs. Pickoff move to first, and they got him. So after all that, Snyder gets credit for the base hit, but is picked off at first base.
The last out anyways. It's the second time an inning has ended with the men being picked
off. This time the inning will officially end. We will now head to the seventh here at Club Apartment.
Well, we think we're going to start the seventh inning. Are we sure now?
I don't know.
That was the true inning break. Take two. Well, Jake, you've done it again. I hand you a perfectly fine game, and you hand it back to me with the Mets losing. Three spot for Daytona during Jake's play-by planning. None for the poor Mets. Try to rally as best I can, Jake. Here's Espinosa, the only Tortuga not to hit in the three-run sixth against Austin. He's back out there. Channing could use a good inning. It's been a tough April for him. This is his fourth appearance. None of the four have been smooth. ERA in real time over 9. More strikes and hopefully a better rhythm, pace, good defense, et cetera, et cetera. And that will go a long way kickstarting his season. A 1-1 pitch, and that's fought off foul. The good thing for Austin is that not much hard contact against him at all last inning, but set himself up for trouble with the walk. Juan's error hurt and left, and the wild pitch with two outs and a runner on third. That run. Here's a ball poked foul.
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam. If the Mets are able to come back in this game and win it on your play-by-play, I will surrender my next two games of play-by-play.
Oh, which means more work for me. Well, we have a buddy who used to work here every game last year. He's worked sparingly this year in the sound room. And the Mets' record when he is not at Clover Park is 6-1. And when he's here, it's 1-3. And he's scheduled to work tomorrow. He's not here today. But I told him, the Mets win tonight, and we might ban you from the ballpark. Here's a fly into right field off the bat of Espinosa. Fanyas makes the play. And Espinosa drops to 0-3. We're not superstitious. We're a little stitious.
Just a little bit.
Back to the top, and Henley, who's 0-3. A couple of strikeouts. First batter that Austin Fay struck him out, so he got off to the good start. Slider down for ball one. So the Mets come into today's game tied for first in the East. The best shape they've been in the divisional race since they won it all in 2022, as this ball's shot foul. They're 17 games in. We're about just over a quarter of the way through the first half. So the Mets are right in the thick of it. But currently, the team they're tied with, Palm Beach, is up 3-0 against Jupiter. Clearwater, which also has a 10-7 record, same as the Mets and the Cardinals. In the West Division, currently up 1-0. So it's work for the Mets to do, apparently, if they want to stay amongst the top records in the league. Mets have won 4 in a row and 9 of 13. A 1-2 pitch. Strike 3 on the corner. Henley down for the third time on strikes. 2 up, 2 down. He thought about the challenge and decided to let it go, and that was a good thing. It was in the zone. Shaping up to be a nice bounce back inning for Austin as he faces Duno, who's walked twice and grounded out once. First pitch, no interest in swinging at that. Takes it for a strike. Fastball too tall. But the Mets organization overall, 58-39 coming into today's action. Good times. Binghamton's on a 6-game win streak. Syracuse having a tough time in Worcester. Brooklyn started off hot. The Mets started out cool down here, but have heated up. Of course, New York's on a tear. Slider just off the plate, so all five Mets teams going into today, 58-39. 2-2 pitch. Ooh. All right there, Mr. Rodriguez. Perrozzo's going to steady him. Looks like he's no worse for the wear. That was a shot. How about Binghamton today won both games of a doubleheader? Two-two pitch. It's outside. Syracuse continues to have trouble in Worcester, down 11-1 in the sixth. Brooklyn all over Jersey Shore, 6-0. In the fifth inning, St. Lucie down 4-1 here. Payoff pitch coming to Duno, and he takes it low for ball four. No challenge. Will not be a 1-2-3 inning. And Duno has taken his third walk of the evening. He was below the zone. And the New York Mets tonight off. 7-0 homestand at Citi Field. Long stretch of 13 straight games. Sacramento, Minneapolis, and then New York. 10-3 in that stretch. No days off. All across the country. And then tomorrow, the big Mets at Washington. Four games set against the Nationals. Duno running. Perrozzo struggles to get out of his mitt and launches a high one. So, a rumbling catcher. Swipes second. He tried to steal earlier in the game. There was a fly out on the play.
Well, Perrozzo just kind of double clutched when he went to go throw that to second, and that forced him to rush it. And it results in a high throw. No chance to get Duno at second.
Yeah, Alfredo Duno does have his stolen base. The 0-2 pitch is lined out of play. New York Mets 12-1 at Citi Field, but now on the road for four. We'll see if they can't prove that road record. They are 6-6. 0-2 pitch coming. Duno might steal third. He goes back. It's high for a ball. 1-2. Looks low. Two balls, two strikes. Graham 1-for-3 today. The 2-2 pitch, and Graham lines it the other way, but slicing foul. 2 up and 2 down, and all of a sudden this becomes a tighter inning. The walk, the stolen base, now deep count on the number 3 hitter in the order. And for Austin, he's throwing a lot of pitches here. Get 5 outs in this relief appearance. This is number 51. And it's a bleeder into right, falling fast for a base hit. Fanius will pick it up. Here comes the throw to the plate. Perozzo has it and tags out Juno to end the inning. Good throw by Fanius. Everybody played that calmly and coolly. A shallow throw. Nice two-hop. Perozzo, no issues at the plate. And the inning is over. No runs, a hit, no errors. One man left on. Stretch time at Clover Park. Mets down by 3. Good crowd tonight on $2 night. Palm Point School in attendance. Did a nice rendition of the seventh inning stretch there on both dugouts. Glad to have those folks here. Getting late here at Clover Park. So we hit the 8 o'clock hour on the East Coast. That's 4-game winning streak in jeopardy here. Down 4-1 with Cuevas back up. Villavicencio and Perozzo slated to hit. J.P. Ortiz out for inning number 3. He's done well. This pitch is called a strike despite not being secured by Duno. Well, Duno not fleet of foot, trying to score from second on a base hit with 2 outs. Look, talked about it between innings. Not the worst play. It's a 2 out hit. Forced the Mets to make the play. They did. 1-1. This inside. 2 balls and a strike on Cuevas. Mets today, not their sharpest. They've been picked off twice to end innings. All out the plate. 2-1 pitch low. Had a misplay in left field. A couple of costly walks there by Austin in the 6th inning. A wild pitch with the runner on 3rd. So helping Daytona's cause, but still time to come back, straighten things out. 3-1 pitch, and it's cut on and fouled away. The theme of this young season for St. Lucie has been trailing in games, coming back, and finding unorthodox ways to win. really hard to find two wins that have looked the same this year for the Mets. Three-two pitch coming to Cuevas. And this one might have hit him. It did. He goes down to first on the hit by pitch, and it's a start. So they actually put the leadoff guy on now three times. The first two batter didn't come around to score. Something that's going to change the tune here in the seventh.
All it takes is one, just to get somebody on base, get that energy back up for the Mets, and start a rally. Try to do that here.
Viva Cencio next. Two hits yesterday. 0 for 2 today. He swings wildly at a slider outside for strike one. NFL draft coming on in a couple minutes, Jake. You have any interest in that?
Of course, you know, I got my. I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. Yeah. Sure. Pay attention. Just, I mean.
0-1 pitch is lined in the left field. That's down for a hit. Cuevas will take the turn and go back to first. And here come the Mets. DeVincenzo just keeps on hitting. It's all he's done since coming back down from Brooklyn. He's now 8 for 18. Perozzo finds himself coming to the plate as the tying run. He did give one a ride to the deep part of the warning track in left center back in the second inning. The wind is blowing out there again right now.
I have to think if Perozzo gets a hold of one, he won't make that mistake a second time.
Pitch is called the ball and immediately challenged by Duno. Daytona's 2 for 3 today, looking to keep the last one.
This might have just clipped the strike zone. It's close.
And it is. You can't really see it, but it did get in the zone, so Duno with the successful challenge. One pitch, Perozzo on a check swing went around. There's two pitches going against Perozzo. Ortiz goes right at him and strikes him out. Perozzo knew it. Sure, he was expecting a pitch that good. And I don't think he realized that he almost went back in the box. He was called out on strikes. That pitch was right down the middle.
A fastball that just kind of caught him off guard.
Big out for Ortiz as Perozzo was unable to move the runners. So Simone Juan, interesting day. Swings and misses on the slider. He cranked a double in the second, badly needed. He struggled to hit the ball this year, but promptly picked off at second and then later made an error in left. So trying to get back to the good stuff. If he can pick up a multi-hit game here. We're going to look at a couple of quick strikes, and he's in an 0-2 hole immediately.
This is a big spot here. The Mets have the base runners. Now you want to start getting some of them home, especially after both of them reaching with no outs.
I don't think he liked the last pitch. It did appear out of the zone upon review. 0-2 slider, and he pops it up on the infield. Infield fly rule goes into effect. And it's dropped, and the Mets are not going to fall for that. Now, Graham, it's worth a shot at third base to see if you can't get some panicked base runners. Cuevas and DeVincenzo never moved off the bags.
We have seen it before. Players drop the infield ball on an infield fly rule. Base runners have taken off, and you can able to pick up an extra out. So it doesn't hurt you to try it. Good job, though, by the Mets to stay foot.
And it's not like Graham thought that ball might bounce wildly away. It's going to plop down in the grass there and not do anything else. Here's a weak ground ball picked up by Ortiz, and he drops it. And everybody's safe. And Ortiz barks at himself, punches the ball back into his mitt in frustration, as he should have had. An easy out number three to end this inning. Could not secure it. He overran it with the glove. So Vanyas is going to be credited with an infield single. Maybe started to panic there with Vanyas running down the line. Did not secure the ball, and the inning will continue. They're loaded up for Rodriguez. The Mets down three in the bottom of the seventh. Have a chance here. Jason Imichus, the pitching coach, is coming out for a visit. And Jake, earlier in the inning, I did stick my nose up at you for saying you were a Green Bay Packers fan. Sorry.
You did a little bit. It's okay. Do you want to tell the viewers who you're a fan of?
Well, you know, I was born and raised in Massachusetts, so forgive me for liking the Patriots. Are you born and raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
I was not.
Okay.
It's the one thing that many people are confused when I tell them. They're like, wait a minute, you grew up in Tampa and all these Tampa sports teams, but you're not a fan of the Buccaneers? What happened there?
Bucks and Packers, big rivals back in the day.
They were.
Same division. All right, here we go. Rodriguez 1-for-3 today. Biggest at-bat of the game for the Mets. Tying run is on base. First pitch from Ortiz, and it's slashed foul. And Daytona's expecting this. Look at where Moon is. He's almost guarding the left field line. There is so much space down the right side if Rodriguez could ever yank one. And such a long run for Pineda. Look at in right field. That is, he'd have to go a country mile into the right field corner. That would easily tie this game as this ball dips low.
Right now for Rodriguez, the goal is just get that ball into the outfield.
Looks like a strike two, and he's going to challenge this pitch. That's second challenge today. They are one out of one.
Well, you do have the two challenges, and you're not going to be able to take them with you as we get late in this game.
It's a strike. Barely. So that will put Rodriguez in the hole, one and two, and put the Mets down to one last challenge. Ortiz, the 1-2. Missed.
See if Rodriguez can show off some of that patience that he had earlier in this series.
He flies one into left. Does Moon see it? He calls for it and squeezes it shut. And Ortiz pitches out of the jam, strands the bases loaded, and keeps Daytona up 4-1 as we move to the eighth. enters its final phases. Important for Channing Austin to post another zero. And that's within striking distance on a night where the offense does have seven hits. That matches the total from the first two games combined, but just the one run. Smith Pineda will take a called strike. Last time up, popped an RBI single into right field. Break a 1-1 tie. He yanks this ball left side and foul. He's behind nothing and two.
Now the good news for the Mets is that they had the bases loaded in that last inning, so they know they can get base runners and get a chance. The defense can hold the Tortugas at four runs. No reason they can't load the bases again.
0-2 pitch. It's a big bouncer to third. Snyder sets his feet. Throws a good strike across the diamond for the out. Austin has now retired the leadoff hitter in all three innings. It's better than the alternative. Nalvin Valdez up now. He takes the ball low. And Valdez subbing in for Bernard Moon, who went 1-for-3 with the ground rule double.
It's hitting for Daytona, 40 Valdez. 40 Valdez for Moon.
It's a hard ground ball right to Snyder. Backs up, sets, and another good throw. Trey 2-for-2 at the hot corner into the inning. In the inning.
Good for Trey Snyder. Able to set his feet, make clean throws. And he's got two quick outs for the Mets here defensively.
Stafura next, a home run and a walk tonight. Home run his first of the season. And at 1-0 back in the second, he'll take a fastball outside at 93. Game was 1-1 until the Tortugas broke loose with the three-run sixth, a lot like what the Mets did yesterday, their half of the sixth. Daytona trying to get on the board in the series. 2-0 pitch. Whoa! Cross up, and hope Perozzo is okay.
You know, it's tough when your catcher and pitcher get crossed up there. Looks like Perozzo's all right. I think it cut him in near his glove.
Yeah, shaking out the right hand arm. Was ball three. And that's ball four. So just like last inning, Austin a couple of quick outs, but then walks the number three hitter in the inning and now has to deal with the base runner. And that 1-2-3 inning eludes him again. It's Luis Reyes coming up.
While two-out walks are usually not dangerous, it can really throw you off your groove, which is kind of what we saw happen in the last inning.
And it's going to bring another mound visit from Luis Alvarado. It's kind of been Channing Austin's season. He's got good stuff, and when it's working for him, he can get outs, but hasn't had that breezy outing like we've seen from so many other relievers and starters for the Mets this year. Still a chance to go three innings here and post a couple of zeros in his final two. See if he has the ninth as well. Scores around the Florida State League. Currently, Bradenton outlasts Lakeland 8-6, 11 a.m. game in Lakeland. I'd have loved 11 a.m. game when we were in Lakeland. We did not get one. Palm Beach up 3-2 now against Jupiter in the sixth inning. Pop up right after the mound visit. Who wants it? DeVicencio. Two hands. Puts it away for the out. No runs, no hits, no errors. One stranded. 7.5 complete. Mets looking for a comeback. Trail 4-1. J.P. Ortiz back out there. Pitched out of the bases-loaded jam last inning to keep it a 4-1 Daytona lead. Inning number four for him. Trying to match Huggins. Chaos at the draft. Jaguars up to number two, trading with the Browns. Didn't see that one coming. Chaos at the draft. Will there be chaos at Clover Park tonight? As Colin Houck leads off, and he fouls one away.
Well, the Mets are certainly built for creating that chaos opportunity.
Houck played some football, quarterback, and some D1 scholarship offers.
Hell yeah. It's a tough position to play. You know, a lot of people will talk about, like, what's the hardest position to play, the most physical, the most rewarding. I'll tell you what, the quarterback position is the most...
Is it consensus? I think it must be close to consensus. The most important and probably hardest position in all of sports is quarterback at the NFL level.
I would agree.
0-2 pitch, and Houck skies one way up there. Valdez makes the catch for the out. I think we're past that time at night where the outfielders are going to struggle with twilight.
Houck just got underneath that one a little bit too much. He really gave it a ride up into the sky. He gets a little bit more of a level swing off. Ball's got a good chance to be extra bases and maybe even a home run.
A.J. Ewing, a walk, a triple, and a ground out at the plate. He will take a strike, and he did not like this one bit. We'll challenge it. Not the fastest we've seen a player challenge yet this season. Umpire having some trouble with the earpiece. And the graphics ready to go on the board. Having a little mic trouble.
The anticipation. Build it.
They can. The mic's not working, but they can hit the play button on that graphic and roll it. Maybe a stand in a panic over there. Strike. Well, for AJ was adamant that they did not like that call, but it was. In the zone, sliver of the ball.
Oh, man, not by much. Just catches that zone. And again, with the ABS, or with the rules, it's as long as it touches that strike zone, it's a strike.
Mets will finish 3-for-5 in challenges, so that's actually better than their season average of 51% coming in. But they're done for the day. This pitch is low. TBD, if it will come back to play a role. Ewing fouls one back, one and two. Jaguars on the clock. What, they had to go up to get Travis Hunter, right? Like, again, I'm not watching this thing, but 1-2 pitch, and Ewing drives a ball into deep right field. Pineda going back, and he makes the catch. He was playing deep, was able to round to it. Ewing is a long out number two.
Well, off the bat, sounded pretty good. Gave it quite the ride to the right field, but he needed able to get over there quickly and make the catch. Two quick outs here for the Mets.
Just what Ortiz was looking for after battling through the bases loaded situation in the seventh. Smoother sailing in the eighth. And he gets a half swing and a miss from Snyder. Snyder had maybe the wackiest play of the day when he hit that ball into center field last time up. It was trapped but called an out, and then we were almost at the end of the inning break, and they reversed course. Said that he actually got a hit, brought everybody back out, and then he was promptly picked off. But better for Trey to get a hit out of the situation than a flyout. End of it all. evened out.
Still can't believe he was able to get that call overturned.
0-2 pitch. Well, he stayed out there and couldn't believe it. And we've seen that a lot over the years. Players stay out there and just don't want to believe it. I don't think I've ever recalled it taking that long where they've actually get it to go their way. Ortiz, the 1-2. This is low with the curveball. Two pitch with two outs, and Snyder will take it for a ball. Daytona has a challenge left.
They thought they had it. That ball, though, looks like it was well out of the strike zone according to the ABS system. So, good no challenge if you're Daytona.
By the way, spoke wrong earlier. The Mets finished 1-for-3 at the challenges, so they were actually below their season average. Payoff pitch, and it's grounded to third. Graham waits on it. Throws to first and retires his counterpart. It's a 1-2-3 eighth turned in by J.P. Ortiz, sending this game to the ninth. Channing Austin back for his fourth inning of work, potentially trying to finish this game out on the mound for the Mets. They can't, he can finish this and they can't rally in the bottom of the ninth. Austin's been getting better as this appearance has gone on. Unfortunately, though, the three spot against him in the sixth inning, the difference in the game right now as Daytona holds a 4-1 lead looking for insurance. And the Crystal swings and misses for strike one. The Jacksonville Jaguars did indeed select Travis Hunter, so it's everybody thought Hunter would go second, but not to that team. The Jaguars kept it pretty tight, close to the vest there.
Always the dramatics in the NFL draft.
It had been so quiet. And, you know, they're really, to me, it's almost nothing more brutal in sports than the lead-up to the NFL draft. It's just so much and so long, and people just making things up to, you know, keep the conversation going as McChrystal strikes out. Once it's here, it's like, finally, just get this over with. And then something like that happens where nobody really saw Jaguars trading up. Select Travis Hunter. So that's, I don't think that changes too much. The player everybody thought would be off the board at two is off the board at two. Espinoza takes a ball.
To see them shorten those first round drafts a little bit. They take a little too long for my liking.
It's a TV show, Jake.
I know.
High drama TV show.
Sometimes faster is better, like baseball with the pitch clock and helping things move along. Get to see more action.
2-0 pitch. This will be tough. Austin, back foot pivot, throws it away off the target. Running up to second base is Espinoza, and he will halt there. And looking at a hit and an error. Or a straight error. against the ruling. That was do or die. It was going to be Austin or nobody, because once the ball cleared him, it was going to be a hit. It's a tough off-balance throw. And had more time than he thought. Espinoza on base.
Started off as a really good play to be able to grab that ball as he's coming off the mound. Turned and fired, but I think he rushed it just a little bit too much, and that made him lose his accuracy.
And a balk has been called. This is the second balk called on Austin. So he's had two balks, a couple of walks, a wild pitch, and an error tonight. Can't quite sync it all up. That's a big insurance run at third. The infield's got to come in. This ball is fouled off the tarp. Henley working on an 0-for-4, 3-strikeout night. Austin would love to make that a 4-strikeout night. Honing in on it as Henley expands his strike zone. Now it's careful. You want the strikeout. You're hunting for that, but you can't really afford to bounce one and risk the wild pitch. Instead, it's a tapper to Cuevas underneath his mitt into right field. An RBI single for Henley. And as Espinoza scores to make it 5-1, an unearned run. Just a good piece of hitting. Avoiding the strikeout, put the ball in play, and chopped it right by. Not much Cuevas could do drawn in like that.
And it's the one drawback to having the infield in, when a ground ball like that gets through a little more easily. If defense is playing back, they're able to grab it. But as you mentioned, Dan, with that insurance run, you wanted to try and prevent it any way you could.
Ground ball could be to Rodriguez, to Villavicencio, and Duno's hitting the twin killer. One pitch after the RBI single insurance run, the inning comes to an end. The mountain that much taller for the Mets to try to climb if they want to extend their winning streak to 5 games. Darkness has fallen on St. Lucie. We have a new pitcher in the mound. 6'7" in the Air Force. It is Jake Gilbert, added to the roster today. Interesting story here. He's 28 years old. From from Heidelberg, Germany. Played his college ball at Air Force. Reached as high as High A Dayton with the Reds organization, then left to do his Air Force duties, and now back a couple years later. 3 years later, last pitch in 2022. 30 games in High A. Trying to finish this one off, but he's falling behind Cuevas 2-0 and 3-0. It's not a safe situation, not after that insurance run. Let's need a bunch of base runners here. Gilbert's 3-0. Lays it in there for a strike. Cuevas tonight 0-2, hit by a pitch. A full count pitch back in the seventh. It's low to the bases that inning, down three, but could not score against Ortiz. Did a nice job. 3-1 pitch, and Cuevas will ground it to first, and that's a diving stop, and the play won't be completed. Reyes did a nice job to keep it from going down the line, saving an extra base hit. Can't quite connect with Gilbert for the out at base. This is ruled a hit for Cuevas.
It's a really nice job by Reyes to stop that ball from getting into the outfield, but unfortunately for him and the angle he was at, Cuevas barreling down towards first base, it's almost an impossible play to make.
So Cuevas has a hit in both the rehab games. We're going to take a look at Reyes at first base. There's a potential injury situation. We'll shake out that right arm. Willie Harris, the manager, Sam Tedman, the trainer, over. Have a look, he's okay. We'll stay in there. Well, they inserted Reyes into the game yesterday for Cabrera, who had something bothering him. They don't need the sub to go down as well. Let's see if Vicencio can keep it going. He had a hit in his last at bat, 1-for-3. And he chops one foul. Most of this $2 night crowd is stuck around. Some into their cups, as they usually are on a Thursday night. Fairly fast-moving game, just closing in on 2.5 hours. Gilbert's 0-1, and it's a breaking ball popped out to the right side into the seats. Nothing in two. Mets' biggest comeback this season, 5 runs, but they were down 5 in a first inning, game 2. And at the end of the first inning, it was 5-4. This would be the big one if they could find a way. 4-game winning streak, at least remaining in first place on the line here. Ball low. Daytona, meanwhile, trying to snap a 4-game losing skid. Played some good baseball, but lost the last two at home over the weekend at Jupiter. And lost the first two of this series. Breaking ball, softly hit into center, falling fast. It's down for a hit. Cuevas going to go to third. Vicencio, another multi-hit game. And here come the Mets.
For the second time, they have done a good job with patience at the plate, and then a good curveball that stays up in the zone. Vicencio drives it into left field.
Kevin now with 9 hits in 6 games. First to have reached again, just like the last time Cuevas and Vicencio came to the plate to start an inning. In that situation, Ortiz was able to get out of it without allowing a run, and that's a big reason why Daytona is still in a good position.
It Question now for the Mets is this time around, can they cash in with a base hit to score these early base runners? We're not able to do it.
You got a pitcher here in Gilbert who hasn't appeared in a game since 2022. Just added to the roster today. And he's inserted into a ninth inning situation. Maybe not as sharp as he would like to be. Now, Perozzo had a strange strikeout last time up. A three-pitch strikeout really didn't look comfortable. Could be a dangerous hitter when he's locked in. Let's see what he has here. Perozzo will rip to right field, and that's hooking down the line. That is a foul ball. He was all over it, but a tick out in front. That's a hit that would have scored one and set the Mets up in a good spot.
That is another well-hit ball by Vincent Perozzo. First one he hit falls a little bit short of the wall as a flyout. This one just foul. He can straighten one of these out. Pick up a huge base hit for the Mets.
He needs to get on to force the tying run to the plate. Perozzo swings and misses at the fastball, maybe the best pitch so far from Jake Gilbert.
And a change of location. Now Perozzo has to shorten up here, try and protect.
Well, Viva, since he was running, ground ball right side. It's going to squeak through for a hit. Run is in. Vivasenza going to third. He slides in. He is safe. Ball dribbles away. Perozzo going up to second. No throw. It's 5-2. And the Mets have the tying run coming to the plate with nobody out. Just did get it by the dive of Espinoza. And some good base running on the part of the Mets as that ball gets away. That will be an error.
A lot going on. Vivasencio hesitated for a moment, then took off to third. That throw came in offline, and Perozzo, who was bouncing around at first base, saw that throw get away. He then moves up to second base.
And here's Simone Juan lays off the breaking ball.
The best part about that situation for the Mets is now it takes away a chance at a double play ball.
E9 on that throw.
Here with no outs and two runners in scoring position.
It's all about the runner at the batter, really. Tying run. That pitch gets over for a strike. Daytona playing the defense back. Certainly exchange. Base runners moving up for an out at first base. And ruled the throwing error on Pineda from right field. That ball that let Perozzo get up to second. Swing and a miss. Juan, double back in the second inning, then picked off to end the inning. 0 for 2 cents. And Fanyas after that, and then Rodriguez. Gilbert, the 1-2, and Juan goes fishing on a pitch way off the plate.
That's one he would want back on a pitch way outside the zone. Chased it. No chance at making contact. And it's a strikeout.
Team starting to rally. Certainly don't want to give Daytona an easy out there. And that's what it was. Fines will come up. He's 2-for-3 from the ninth spot. So he has a big hit in it. It gets away, but not far enough for Vivasencio to make a mad scramble home. And here, Kevin, there's no need to even think about it. And it's all about the hitter not making it out anywhere else.
Unless it's a guarantee, just hang out over there at third base and let Fanyas try and drive you in.
Pitch nearly gets away. 2-0. Fanyas gets on. That would bring the winning run to the plate. Not even close. Fanyas has had a good day swinging the bat with two hits, but 3-0. I figure this is a must-take situation. Daytona's got action in the bullpen. Got one in. Fanyas lets it pass.
Not a bad take at all by Fanyas after so many pitches way outside the zone. Had to see the strike before you start swinging. And even here at 3-1, unless this is a great pitch to hit, be wary of making a swing.
Wraps in strike two. Jeremy Rodriguez waits on deck. Gilbert the payoff, and Fanyas hits it right side, handled by Reyes. The throw over to Gilbert gets the toe on the bag. Fanyas is out. Villavicencio is in. It's 5-3. Rosso goes down to third, and now Jeremy Rodriguez will hit as the tying run, but this was a win for Daytona. With Gilbert all over the map, falling behind 3-0 to Fanyas to come back and get him. Gladly sign up for that.
Well, no question. Now the Mets down to their last out. Tying run still just at the plate instead of on.
We have a disengagement here. They're going to call that on Duno for standing up and getting out of his crouch. No pitch clock violation. And now we're going to have a mound visit. Nope, we're going to have a pitching change. Willie Harris is not going to let Jake Gilbert try to complete his first inning since 2022. Man from the Air Force comes in. First three get on, but he's retired the most recent two. So buckle up when we come back. Two outs, tying run to the plate. Trent Hodgson in to try to swipe a save here. Reds 17th round pick last year from South Carolina Upstate. Does not have a save yet this season. One in his brief minor league career, looking for one out. Rodriguez to bat as the tying run. Then Hauks displayed massive power on this home stand. Represent the winning run on deck. First three reached. First two have scored. Rodriguez needs to get on to keep this game alive for the Mets. Hodgson's first pitch is hit right out to second. Reyes has to run to first. The throw is wide. Rodriguez going to hustle up to second base, and he will stop there as the tying run. The loopy throw goes out to the bag. Well, that was trouble from the get-go because Espinosa had to wait so long. Look where Reyes is. He just had to wait and wait and wait for Reyes to get back to the bag and could not. So it is now 5-4 on the air.
And that is exactly why you hustle all the way down to first base. A tough play for Espinosa, and with Rodriguez's speed, had to rush it. Couldn't make a clean throw.
And Perozzo scored. Well, the Mets have had a three-run bottom of the ninth. Houck, the winning run at the plate. Hodgdon's first pitch is a fastball right in there for a strike. With Rodriguez's speed, a hit with two outs. He's on contact. Had a great chance to score. Houck fouls one back. That's going to fall just short. Visiting radio booth. Now the Mets are down to their last strike. Houck, who homered in the ninth to get the game to extras on Tuesday, looking for a hit 2 days later. Potentially get this game to extras. 0-2 pitch, and he struck him out. That's how it ends. A valiant comeback by the Mets. How big was that error in the top of the ninth? Daytona scoring the insurance run. They needed it. The Mets scored three times in the bottom half, while one hit short of tying this game. Tying run left at second base as Hodgdon gets the save, and Daytona gets on the board in the series with the 5-4 victory in Game 3. Say goodbye to their four-game winning streak, but not without some last-second dramatics. Mets will drop to 10-8 in the season. Daytona back to 500 at 9-9. Ortiz gets the win, Austin the loss, and Hodgdon snipes that save by getting the last out. So the Tortugas wrapping up that high-five line between the mound and their dugout. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the 5-4 Tortugas win after this. Back here at Clover Park, Mets fall 5-4. Another dramatic game right down to the wire. You knew the Mets were not going to go quietly into that good night. Not when they were playing so well and on the four-game winning streak and having such a good homestand. It took to the bitter end for Daytona to finally defeat the Mets. Let's roll through the highlights of this 5-4 Daytona victory. It's 1-1 for a long time. A.J. Ewing, helpful with that great tumbling catch in center field. Great defensive play by A.J. Simone Juan, if only you could pick when you got your hit, right? It's a double here with two outs and the base is empty. That would keep the inning live, but he was promptly picked off and that ended the inning. That said, a couple of pickoffs end innings. You hate the way that that transpired. The offense was pretty good tonight. Ewing gets the Mets on the board with his third triple of the season. It's 1-1. But then some trouble for Austin in the sixth inning. Some trouble with Simone Juan in left. A couple of walks in the inning. There's a walk and a ball four that gets to the backstop. That brings in a run. It was a three-run top of the sixth inning to make it 4-1 Daytona. Mets trying to come back as Trey Snyder hits this in the center field. The weird play made this season. This is called a catch. After a long discussion, it's ruled a trap. We had already been through basically between innings. They made us restart the inning, but Snyder was picked off. There's a play at the plate. Good throw by Fanyas, the two-skipper to Perozzo. But then here's the big one. The insurance run after a leadoff error on a throw by Channing Austin. That would bring in the run and make it 5-1. Daytona needed every run it had to get this win. Perozzo keeps the rally alive in the ninth with a base hit. And then Fanyas makes it out to bring in a run. That'll make it 5-3. Rodriguez hustling all the way. Look how far Reyes is off the bag. Can't get back to it. This will bring in Perozzo with two outs. Keeps the game alive. Jeremy goes up to second as the tying run. But a three-pitch strike out there for Hodgdon to snuff out any hope of the Mets' comeback. So, Jake, the Mets, they rallied. They give this team, you know, A-plus for effort. They are never down and out of it, even when they're maybe not playing their best game. They are a tough out right now, but at some point in time, you know, walks, errors, those type of things, you just can't always overcome it, try as they might.
When it comes to the energy, I give a lot of credit to the new Mets manager, Luis Rivera, who has talked about a lot, making sure this team is acting like this is a playoff game every night. And you see that injury help them late in these games. They start to come back. Couldn't quite complete it tonight off a couple of little errors that were the issues in this game. But again, overall, this team is playing very well. They pitched good. They've had some timely hitting. Listen, you're playing 132 games. Not everything is going to work out for you every single night. It's tough to keep a long winning streak going. Hopefully they can bounce back tomorrow.
Yeah, and we saw from the Mets offense the first two games finding just enough, finding ways to win the first two games. Tonight, 10 hits. That's, I think, a good sign of things to come this series. The offense has awoken, and they'll try to roll that into tomorrow where they can still get a win tomorrow, and that will guarantee them a split. That would guarantee them a winning homestand. So we'll see what tomorrow brings. Probably another exciting game. Jake, it feels like they've all been exciting in this 12-game homestand
they
so far. First pitch tomorrow is at 6:10 airtime on Bally Sports Live. MLB TV will be at 6 o'clock sharp. Well, folks, that's going to do it for this game, this post-game show, and this broadcast. Once again, your final from Clover, Daytona 5, St. Lucie 4. For Jake Ricker and our entire crew, I'm Adam McDonald saying thank you so much for making us part of your night. We hope you all have a pleasant remainder of your evening.